Word of God says, and he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper, and no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he also said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. Whoever will not receive you, notice what verse 11 says, whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that to the people that they should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and he healed them. What really stood out to me as I read this in verse 11 is Jesus would remind his disciple, whoever will not receive you or hear you when you depart, he says, depart from there, and here it is, shake off the dust under your feet. And I believe this morning some of you here need to shake some things off already. And let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word that we're about to receive. Thank you, Lord, for our church family and that we can come here today to receive your word. I ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat as we go into this word this morning. Let me give you a context of what's happening here, but the disciples have been following Jesus for about 2 years now. They've been learning from his teachings. They've been following his examples. They've been growing. And at this point of their journey with Christ, Jesus feels that it's time for them to go out, not into the world. It's not the Great Commission yet to go out into the world, proclaiming the gospel, making nations. But Jesus sends them on a smaller mission first, and he sends them out to their region, to their neighborhoods, to where they grew up, to go and preach to the people that they know. It's a small journey, but nonetheless, it's a journey that Jesus, it says, you guys are ready to go out without me. You're ready to go preach. You're ready to go help people. You're ready to go serve. And that's exactly what the disciples did. The disciples went out to serve and preach and be a blessing. But what really got me as I read this passage was two things. One, in verse 7, the Bible says in verse 7 that he called the 12 to himself and he began to send them out two by two. But notice, the Bible says he gave them power over unclean spirits. So one of the things that Jesus is very clear about with his disciples is as they go out into this journey to serve the Lord and serve others and be in ministry, Jesus is not shy to admit that they will go under spiritual warfare, that they will go under some demonic attack and the devil was real and they will go under this intense spiritual war. So he gave them power over and authority over these evil spirits. And if you want to know more about that, just a reminder, next Sunday is our hell series, so we're going to dive into this a little deeper. I'm excited for it. But anyway, Jesus gives them power over the devil, over the demons, over authority, over evil spirits, and all of that. But see, he doesn't spend much time talking to them about this. See, if I were sending you out somewhere to go do ministry and I knew that the devil would attack you, I would hope that I would have it in me to at least tell you what type of demons you're going to face, what type of devil is out there, what is he capable of, what power does he have, how do you handle this, how do you deliver them? You see, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus says, hey, there's going to be spiritual war out there. Don't worry, you have authority, go on. But notice where Jesus does spend time talking. Where does Jesus spend a lot of time instructing? Where does Jesus really take the time to really teach his disciples before he sends them out? It's in verse 11, and notice what he does. In verse 11, he says, wherever you go, if they will receive you, if they won't receive you, if they won't hear you when you depart from there, notice he says, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony. You see, when Jesus gets ready to send out his disciples, He doesn't emphasize a lot about the spiritual and the demonic and the devil or any of that. He says, you guys have power and authority. Don't worry about that. But what Jesus really spends his time on, making sure that the disciples are prepared for and equipped for and ready for, was the fact that as they go in this journey, he's getting them ready to be rejected. He's getting them ready for people to offend them. He's getting them ready to have oppositions from people around them. Jesus does not spend time warning them about the devil and preparing them for the demons. Jesus actually prepares them for people that will hurt them. And let's be honest, who needs the devil when you have people? Amen? Can I get a witness? Who needs the devil when you work with him? Who needs the devil when you're married to him? Who needs the devil when people exist? And this is what Jesus actually prepares the people for. He prepares the disciples to get rejected. He prepares the disciples to get offended by those. He prepares the disciples to have doors shut on their faces, even when the disciples are only trying to help and love and serve. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't care who you are, how spiritual you are, how nice you think you are, there will be people out there that simply will not like you. Can I get an amen today? They will not receive you. They will actually hinder you. Jesus is being honest here. He says, you guys are serving me. You're going out into the mission field. You're going to serve. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to do all of this. And there's going to be people that will welcome you. There will be homes that will open up their doors. They will provide for you some food. They will provide for you a place to stay. They will provide for you financially. There will be people that respond to your message. There will be people that will welcome you. But Jesus tells his disciples, but you have to be ready for those that will oppose you. You have to be ready for people that are going to insult you. You have to be ready for people that are going to turn their backs on you and reject you and hate you. You got to be ready for those people as well. Jesus sees it fit to instruct them that the time will come where people will be offended by you. And people will reject you. And as Jesus is talking to them about this, he's talking about their family members. Remember, they're not going far. They're going around their region, their neighborhood. So Jesus is preparing them to be rejected by family members. He's preparing them to be rejected by friends and neighbors. Jesus is telling his disciples, you're going to have those that love you, but boy, you're going to have those that hate you. Get ready for that. You see, I wonder if sometimes it's not the devil doing the damage as much as we think. Because Jesus didn't spend a lot of time talking about it there. But I wonder, maybe it's the offenses of your life, the past hurts and the things that people have done to you that you still hold on to doing the most damage today. All of us here in this church, hear me out. You will be hurt by people. You will be rejected by many. In fact, if you're here this morning and you've never been hurt by someone, would you please kindly stand up to your feet so we can slap you? So you can know what it's like to be hurt by someone. Anyone? See, all of us are sitting because all of us right now had a mental image of a person that hurts you. A person you love, the person you were there for, a person you were caring for, a person you gave your all to. You all can think of a family member, a friend, a co-worker, someone that did not care for you the way they should have. Someone that hurts you. And Jesus tells his disciples, listen, as you go out into the mission field and you go out to do my work and you go out in obedience and authority over the devil, get ready for those people that you will be tempted to take offense of. The people that will hurt you so bad that you will hold on to that as a grudge with bitterness. Jesus simply tells him, you have to learn how to shake the dust off your feet. You have to learn to shake things off, to move on. He says, depart from there. Leave them. Leave the people that don't want you. Depart from those that don't care about you. The ones that don't want anything to do with you. Don't waste your time with them. Don't spend time lingering about them. Don't waste your time trying to change them. God said, you depart and leave and go to the places that will accept you, that will welcome you. But learn to shake it off. You see, I believe that one of the most important things you want to do when you're following Christ is you need to learn how to shake off offenses. You have to learn how to shake off the wrong that people have done to you. You have to learn to shake off everything that people have done to cause you pain. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:11, it says, sensible people control their temper. How many sensible people do I have here today? 1, 2, 3. Okay, and for the rest of you. Sensible people control their temper. And they earn respect. Notice how you earn respect. By overlooking wrongs. By overlooking the wrongs that people have done. The wrong that people have said. The wrong ways you've been treated. The Bible says when you are wise, when you are sensible, you earn respect as a Christian, I believe. You earn respect as a follower of Christ when you have the discipline to overlook offenses. To overlook the bad and the wrong that people have done to you. In the world that we live in today, many people are not sensible, and with foolishness, they say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing because it is so immature for you not to have it in you, the discipline to overlook wrongs. And you just want to look at what they said and look at how wrong they were and look at what they did and look at how they treated me and look and look and look. And so many people today hold on to offenses and never have the wisdom to overlook and realizing that the majority of the things that hurt you do not matter. Let it go and shake it off in Jesus' name. Shake it off. Colossians 3:13. The Bible says to make allowance. Here's a big one. Make allowance for each other's what? Faults. Make an allowance. Allow people to fail you. Allow people to have faults. Allow people not to do it right all the time. Allow your spouse to make mistakes. Allow your children not to get it right all the time. Allow your pastor to insult you and offend you. Allow your co-workers to cross the line. Allow people to have faults. Because you are not going to walk into a place, into a church, into any organization where everyone gets it right all the time. Can I get a witness this morning? You're not going to walk into any marriage where the spouse always does it right. You're not going to walk into any family that they always do it the right way. The Bible says you have to make an allowance for people to have faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Why? Well, that's not fair, and I don't think that's reasonable. Why? Because the Bible says, remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. Can I tell you one of the greatest ways you model Christ is by allowing people to have faults. It's by forgiving those that have hurt you. There is nothing worse than a person that does not allow you to fail. That holds your past against you. That you always have to do it their way, the right way, all the time. And God forbid, if you mess up, I'm going to be there to rebuke you. And if you get it wrong, I'm going to insult you. The Bible says clearly, if we embrace the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and His love and grace and mercy as Christians, we have to pass that on to the people in our lives that have faults, that aren't perfect, that don't get it right all the time. And the Bible says to make allowance. My question to you this morning is, do you allow people to fail? Do you allow people to fail you? Do you walk around with a critical spirit? Do you walk around waiting for them to do it wrong so you can be there to nag them? Or do you walk in the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ, understanding that people are not going to get it right all the time? Are you with me this morning? In life, you and I will be hurt. You and I will be rejected. You and I will be mistreated. It doesn't matter how good looking you are, how nice you are, how spiritual you are. There are many spiritual, good looking, strong people in the Bible that had to overlook offenses, that had to shake off certain things to get to the place where God wanted them. I thought about King David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible says his own father. For anyone who doesn't know their father or had their father present, but not really that present, for anyone that's been hurt by their fathers, by family members, by parents that should have raised you better, David was one of them that you can relate to. His own father did not acknowledge him. His own father rejected him. And David had to overlook that and focus on the call that God had in his life. And when it came time for him to be a blessing to his father and take his father in and protect him in the cave and in the palace, David did so. I don't think it was for his father. I think it was for himself to be free from any bitterness. I thought about Joseph, a man who worked with excellence, but his own brothers rejected him. His own brother sold him into slavery. And some of you know the pain of a sibling hurting you. The pain of a brother or a sister that should have been by your side. Instead, selfishly, they made a choice to hurt you. I thought about Moses, a great leader who was called by God to take the people of Israel out of Egypt. And in love, Moses obeyed the voice of God and he led the people to the promised land and he sacrificed himself to help those that were in bondage. But in the desert, the people started rejecting him, started complaining about him, started saying, why did you take us here? We want another leader. We want to go back. You're wrong. You led us wrong. And Moses had so much rejection that he even prayed that the Lord would kill him. It's hard when you're a church leader, when you're a pastor, and your own congregation doesn't accept you. And you do your best to love them and lead them, but all they want to do is talk garbage about you and reject you. Moses felt that. Many people in the ministry feel that. I thought about Hagar. She was a servant to Abraham. And Abraham slept with her and got her pregnant and used her. But when the other wife had a baby and had Isaac, they let her go into the wilderness and discarded her like trash. And some of you have related to Hagar, those people that are used you and took you for granted and left you without even caring about your needs. And even Leah in the scriptures, the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel more and Leah felt the rejection by her own spouse. Do you know how many people that are married today feel the rejection by their spouse? That their spouse doesn't love them the way they should, doesn't care for them the way they should. And she struggled and fought every day to win her husband's acceptance and even Jesus himself. One minute everyone's saying, Hosanna, and he's king, and we love you, Lord. And a week later, the same people saying Hosanna are saying, crucify him, kill him, off with him, we're done with him. Jesus even knows the pain of rejection. He knows the suffering that people can bring. As Jesus stood on that cross hanging for our sins and being mocked by people, Jesus knows what it is to be hurt by people he loved, hurt by people he served, hurt by people he cared for, hurt by people he gave his all to. Jesus knows the suffering of people. And Jesus would utter these words, Father, forgive them. Not curse them, not kill them, not destroy them, which he could have with one word. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus models what it is to overlook an offense. Jesus models the love and the grace and the mercies of God. Jesus could have held on to the offense. He could have held on, but on that cross, he shook it off for the mercy and love that he had. So when you call yourself a Christ follower, I pray that you are living in that level of forgiveness for those in your life that have hurt you, that have caused great pain upon you. Why do I feel so strong about this morning? Because in Matthew's account of this scripture, in Matthew 10, 13 through 14, Jesus says, if a household is worthy, let your peace come upon you. But if it's not worthy, if they reject you, Jesus says, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, your words, when you depart from that house or city, Jesus says, shake off the dust. Jesus was clear. Your inability to shake off the hurt will rob you of your peace. It's not that your peace is taken from you. Notice what Jesus says. Let your peace return to you. When you hold on to an offense and unforgiveness and hurt, and you can't shake off what they did and how they hurt you or the words they spoke, when you can't shake it off, God says, you have given that person your peace. So peace is not something you lose. It's something you choose to give up. And you give it to that person. Because you keep thinking about them, talking about them. You go to sleep thinking about ways you want them to hurt. You keep thinking about them in every circumstance of your life. You have allowed that person to take your peace. You have given that person your peace. Meanwhile, that person that has your peace is fine. They have moved on. They are living their life, loving someone else, living with peace, your peace. But you're the one now that is stuck with sadness and anger and depression and offense and have no peace. It doesn't seem right. It actually seems stupid that we choose to live like this. You see, when Jesus says that person has your peace, that word peace in the Greek is a word irene, which literally is the type of peace you have when there's no war or conflict. So Jesus says, when you hold on and don't shake off what people have done in your life, you give that person your peace. And you're actually inviting war and conflict. You're inviting war and chaos into your mind, into your emotions, and into your life. You're declaring war, not on them. Ironically, you are declaring war on yourself. And you are choosing not to live a life of peace. And you say to that person, here's my peace. From now on, I'm going to hate you, be depressed about you, be angry about you, slander you, I'm never going to trust anyone again because of you. I'll never love again because of you. I'm going to live offended. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be just gross. I'm going to hate everyone in life. I'm going to mope around sad and discouraged. And I'm declaring war on myself. You know what Jesus said that I pray you guys listen today? He says, take your peace back. Take your peace back. And don't give it to people. You see, if you don't shake off the dust off your feet, which was something common in that culture, they did because they walked either with sandals or barefoot. If you don't shake the dust off your feet, the dust would only build up more. When you choose to hold on to offense, you choose to hold on to pain and don't shake things off, you think that it's going to only get better with time. It's not. It only gets worse. And it actually builds up. And what happens when you fail to shake the dust off your feet? You walk into a new place and your dust dirties it. Let me explain what happens when you don't shake off offenses and you hold on to the pain of what someone has caused you, whether it be a family member, a wife, or kids, neighbor, or even stranger. You go into the new things that God has for you and you make a mess of it. Let me explain. You're hurt by a past relationship. You don't shake it off. You walk into a new relationship. The Lord blesses you with a new man or a new woman. But you hold on to the pain of the past. And you take that with you to the next relationship. And when that person does or says something that reminds you of your last relationship, you break down and have a meltdown and take it out on them. And you make a mess of a new relationship because of the old brokenness. You make a mess of a new job you go to because you keep holding on to all the bad of the old job. Some of people, they come into this church brand new and they make a mess of it. And they can't enjoy it. And they can't serve in it. They can't give to it. They can't do anything. They stay stuck and bitter. I love this church, but I don't trust anyone. Why? Because you're taking the pain of the old church you went to and how the old pastor hurt you or how the old congregation hurt you. And this congregation must be the same. So anywhere new you go that God wants to bless you with, you make a mess of it because you fail to shake the dust off your past. You fail to shake the dust off the pain. You fail to shake off the hurt that people have caused you. So here's what God says. You have a choice. You can either live and take your peace back, or you can make a mess and have war. What do you want? Because if you want to live in war and you want to live in mess and you want to live with no peace, God says, then don't shake anything off. Keep thinking about what they did. Keep holding on to the rejection. Keep holding on to the hurt. But if you want to live at peace and you want to have a blessed life and walk into the new things that God has and you want to move forward and move on, then God says, you better learn how to shake things off. Can I be honest this morning, church? I think, just my opinion, life is too short and God is too good to be holding on to offenses. Life is too short, God is too good not to have peace. So this morning, my prayer, that you would learn to shake things off. Some of you are looking pretty dusty this morning. You came into this church all smiles, but underneath your feet, you're holding on to some people that you haven't even seen for years. Can I help you shake some things off? Stand up to your feet for a second. Just do me a favor. Just turn to your neighbor and say, hey, your feet are dirty right now. You got some dust on your feet, right? Yeah. And just hey, you got, let me, just would you shake your, would you shake the feet right now? Can you just shake the feet right now? Come on, shake your feet. Just shake your feet off a little, all right? That feel good? Because you all look so silly right now. I just want to see if you guys would do it. All right, you guys can have a seat right now. Feel good? Did that feel good? That is not how you shake things off. If you think for a minute someone's going to hurt you and you're just going to, oh, whatever, and you're fine, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. How do you shake things off? You're saying, Pastor, you don't know how bad it is. You don't know how hurt I am. How do you shake things off? I'm glad you asked. Because first thing I want to tell you, number one, it's not an emotion. It's a decision. It's a decision you can't do on your own. You need the Holy Spirit's power. Shaking things off, it's not an emotion. If it's an emotion, you say, well, I'm going to wait till I feel like forgiving them. I'm going to wait like I'm to feel like I can move forward. If you wait to feel it, you'll never do it. Why? Because you're never going to feel like doing it. Shaking off hurt is a decision. In the Bible, there was a man named Esau who had a twin brother. I'm an expert in being a twin. I'm a twin myself. And in my studies of being a twin, I know there's always one evil and one good one. The evil one is so evil, he's not even here. He's like, I don't need church today. He left. See how evil he is? Where's Danny at? Dad, look at him. Danny, evil twin brother out there. Let's pray for Danny. He's out there in the world right now. Let's pray for him. There's always these twin brothers in the Bible. And Jacob, the evil twin, long story short, lied, stole, and took his brother's inheritance. By doing that, he was literally telling his brother, I don't care what happens to you. I don't care how poor you become. I don't care that you can't survive. I'm going to take it for myself, and I can care less about your needs and your family. If you had any family member take from you, you know the pain of having a sibling or a father, a mother, a cousin do something to you at your expense for their gain. Anyone this morning? That's hard. And on his father's deathbed, Esau, the one that was hurt, he goes to his dad and says, Dad, I want to be blessed. I don't want to hold on to this. I'm angry. I want to kill him. I'm going to murder him. And his father says this in Genesis 27:40. He says to his son, some of the most honest words I've ever read. He says, you will live by the sword. And let me pause here for a second. What does it mean to live by the sword? Because it's the same phrase Jesus told Peter when he cut the man's ear off because he was angry. To live by the sword is to choose to live with attack, with aggression and anger. Can I tell you, when someone hurts you, you want to live by the sword. You want to live on the offensive and hurt them? Say a few things, be aggressive, be angry, attack. And his father says, right now you're going to live by the sword. But notice, when you live by the sword, you will serve your brother. That word serve literally means to be a slave to that person. So did you know that when you're hurt and offended and you go on the attack and you get angry and live to see them hurt, the Bible says you become that person's slave. In other words, they own you. And some of you right now, if you can't shake off what someone's done, I'll tell you right now with love, that person owns you. They own your peace. They own your sanity. They own your walk with God. But notice what his father says. But when you what? When you what? When you not feel, when you decide to break free. Someone needs to hear this morning. You can be broken free. Come on, give God praise for that one right there. You can be broken free when you decide to break free. You will shake his yoke from your neck. The yoke was a device known to be put on an ox to control them. So when you live unable to shake off what someone's done and you live with the sword on the offensive and you want to hurt them and attack them, live with anger and aggression and you can't get over, the Bible says that person not only owns you, that person controls you. And some of you have given too much control to a person in your life. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, he says, for my burden is light. You see, in order to take that yoke off that person placed on you, Jesus says, you need me. When you decide, number one, you have to decide that you want to be set free from this. Whether it be anger, depression, lack of trust, sleepless nights, you have to first make a decision that it's not emotional, but I want to be free from this. I don't have to wait for that person to apologize, because some of you, the person that have hurt you, they might even be dead right now. So how are they going to apologize? Some of you are waiting for that person to come to the door and say, would you forgive me? I was wrong. I'm so sorry. I've changed. Some of you are waiting for that person to suffer for you to say, okay, now I can forgive. But I'll tell you, some of these people, not only are you not going to see them suffer, you're not going to see them change. On the contrary, you're going to go to their Facebook or Instagram, you're going to see them blessed. But God says, make a choice. When you decide to break free, is this a decision that you've made today? Because this morning there's a choice you have to make. Am I going to leave this church holding on, unable to shake off the past? Or am I going to trust the Holy Spirit to help me shake this off? See, when you decide to be broken free, it only gets harder. Look at verse 11. Here's my next point for you guys. Verse 11, Jesus says, and whoever will not receive you, whoever rejects you, doesn't even hear you, when you depart from them, you shake off the dust under your feet, when you shake them off as a testimony against them, he says, I say to you, this is what God says, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. Here's some harsh words for you. When you decide to be free and shake that thing off that person did, verse 11 clearly tells us that judgment belongs to God. Because when we're hurt, we stand as the judge. God says, judgment is mine. That's why it won't be easy for me to say this, but I pray you really do want to be broken free. You have to forgive them. You have to. You have to forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't mean you forget what they did. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you're okay. Or what they did's okay. Forgiveness doesn't even mean you get back into a relationship and be close again. You know what forgiveness means? You simply give up your judgment. You give up your right for vengeance. And you let God deal with the consequences. You leave the consequences to God. You let God deal with them. But you're saying, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to hold you against this. I'm not going to hold myself. I'm going to let you go into the hands of God. I forgive you. That's why you let God deal with them. It's hard to say, hey, forgive the person that abused you, that sexually assaulted you, that stole money from you, that lied to you, that cheated on you, that walked out on you. But forgiveness has more to do with your freedom than their freedom. Because they're not free. They're just now in the hands of God. And who better than God to deal with your people that have hurt you? Romans 12, 17 through 19, one of my favorite verses. That's how twisted I am. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. That's the world we live in right now. I hurt, so I'll make sure you hurt. You insult me, I'll insult you. I've been rejected, therefore I'm going to reject. The Bible says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. That's what separates you from the world. As a Christian, you have a testimony to uphold and an image to have. And that image is that of Jesus Christ. So you have to do what's right in the eyes of everyone because everyone is watching you as a believer of Jesus Christ. Be careful to do what is right. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, he says, live at what? Live at peace. Church, would you choose peace this morning? And here's how you get that peace. Do not take revenge. And you're like, I was about to slash their tires. Do not take revenge, my friends. But here's my favorite verse in the Bible. Leave room for God's wrath. Leave room for God. Because God says this, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And the reason God says it's mine is because you're His. And because you're His, He takes on the responsibility to take vengeance on all those that hurt you. Will you be around to see it? Maybe not. But see, when you choose to forgive and let God deal with the judgment, you're setting yourself free. It's like, suppose you carry a boulder and I push you off my boat and you're down at the bottom of the sea. And you have this boulder and you're holding on to it and you know that all you have to do is let go of that stone and you can float right back up. But instead of just letting the stone go and floating right back up, you're choosing to just try and panic and I can't breathe and I'm going to drown and I'm going to die and live with all of this chaos when all I tell you is, hey, just let go of the stone. And when you let go of that stone that's so heavy on you, it lifts you up and you're able to breathe again. But here's the thing, that stone still exists. It doesn't stop existing. It's just now at another place. And you have been set free. That's what forgiveness looks like. Forgiveness is letting it go into another place, into the hands of God. And now you are set free. And now you can breathe. And now you can enjoy life instead of living with this wholeness, a burden on you over what someone did to you. Forgiveness is saying, I'm letting it go. But I'm letting it go into the hands of God. Verse 10 and 11, when you decide to break free, you shake off with a decision, not an emotion. You shake off with the choice to forgive, and you shake off, verse 10 and 11, also he said to them, whenever you enter a house, and he said it again, wherever you enter a house, stay there. Everyone say stay. Stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart. Here's what Jesus says. For every house that rejects you, you're going to have some that accept you. You know what happens to bitter people? You only focus on those people that are terrible. You only focus on the people that hurt you, but you pay little attention to those that love you. The people that are there for you. the people that do care about you. Jesus says, whenever you enter a house, he's saying, hey, some of these houses, they're going to accept you and love you and give to you and meet your needs. He says, stay there. The word stay is the word meno in the Greek, which literally means to remain, to dwell, to have a strong relationship with. You know what God says? Have a strong relationship with those people that do want you. Invest in those people. And leave the ones that don't want you. The ones that hurt you. The ones that take you for granted. The ones that don't care. The ones that are making your life miserable. He says, listen, would you depart them and trust me with them? And will you just invest in those that do want to be with you? You know, 16 years as a pastor, I can give you a list of enemies that hate me. I don't know why. I can give you a list of people that talk garbage and gossip and slander and hate me and talk bad about our church. I could, but you know what? I don't know where that list is. Why? Because I have you guys. And the day you hate me and leave me and say, oh, I don't like that, listen, guess what? You'll make that list and that's it. And I'll be with those that do want to be with me. That's the attitude we need to have. Invest in those relationships that do want to be with you. Focus on those people that do receive you, that do love you. And move on from those that don't. That's what Jesus did. That's what he taught. You know, we all think that Jesus only had 12 disciples. But we learn in Wednesday night Bible study, Jesus had 70. But in the book of John, it says they got offended with him. And they left him. And Jesus was left with 12. And out of those 12, one of them betrayed him, Judas. And nowhere in Scripture is Jesus crying over those people and saying, man, I can't do ministry without them and I need them. And how can I change the world without them? I needed them. They're so anointed. They're so talented. You know what Jesus did? I have these 11 and with these 11, I'm going to love, I'm going to help, and I'm going to see them change the world. If you want your world to change, focus on the people that are with you and leave the ones that aren't with you behind. And that's what Jesus did. Why is it so hard to move on? Because look at what verse 8 says. He commanded them, take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper, which is money. No bread, no money. Everyone say, no bread, no money. No bread, no money. That's ministry. No bread, no money. He says, don't take any of that with you. Why? Because when you go to these houses, the people that welcome you are going to give you food. They're going to give you money. They're going to provide for you, take care of your needs. You just need to trust them. The disciples are like, okay, sounds great. So what do you think, church, the disciples felt when they went to they had no bread, no money, they went to a house and got rejected? They must have thought, how are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? How are we going to be provided for? That person had what we needed to keep going in the ministry. That person had the money we needed, the bread we needed, the house we needed, the bed we needed, and they rejected us. What are we going to do? You see, here's my point. You have bought into the lie that you need people. Now, God has created us for relationships. And he says it's not good for a man to be alone. And he has created us for fellowship. But here's the difference. We were never created to be dependent upon people. We were created to be dependent on God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. And the reason that so many people find it so hard to move on from people in their past, and I can't shake it off, and I miss them. Why? Because you have convinced yourself that that person is your source. Maybe your source for happiness, your source for provision, your source for protection. See, because all of us have these four basic human needs. We have the need for acceptance, the need for identity, the need for security, and the need for purpose. And sadly, when you find those needs in people, your acceptance is in a person. As long as they say they love me and take me in and tell me I'm beautiful and how great I am, then I feel great. And your identity is in a person. And I'm a wife and I'm a husband and I'm a girlfriend and I'm a boyfriend and I'm a friend and I'm a coworker. And if I don't have this person, I'm not any of that and I'm nothing. As long as you have them as your security and they're the reasons I'm provided for and I'm taken care of and I have a roof over my head because of them and I have clothes on my back because of them and I am everything I am because of them. And that makes me feel safe. And as long as they're your purpose, you will be empty. Because only Jesus can meet the four greatest needs you have. Only Jesus can meet that need for acceptance. Only Jesus can meet your identity. Only Jesus can meet your need for security. Only Jesus can meet your need for purpose. That's why you have to just take this pathetic mindset whenever you say, I can't live without that person. Why is that so stupid? Because that person one day is going to die. You might outlive them. They might walk out on you. They might move on. Don't ever think, I need them to be happy. I need them to survive. See, when they got rejected by all of these people, they must have thought, how are we going to live? How are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? But ironically, church, can I preach this morning? Ironically, in the same chapter, verse 37 and 38, connect. And it's the feeding of the 5,000. And notice what the disciples told Jesus, if you know the story. They answered and said to them, he said, you give these people something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? What's the two things they told Jesus they did not have? Money and bread. And what was the two things Jesus said, do not take for the journey? Money and bread. And when they got so rejected, at the end of this story, they had no money and no bread. No money, no bread. Jesus said, no problem. Why? Because church, what did Jesus do to that bread? He multiplied it. The disciples had 12 baskets left over. And the feeding of the 5,000 is more than just a story about Jesus providing. No, more than that. The feeding of the 5,000 is Jesus teaching the disciples, I am your greatest source. Not people. You don't need them because you have me, Jesus. You don't need them for love. You have my love. You don't need them for purpose. You have my purpose. You don't need them for identity. I give you identity. You don't need them for protection and security. I am your security and protection. Jesus Christ is your great source. And until Jesus is not your source of your life, you will always remain dependent on people and always broken. Only Jesus can meet your greatest, deepest need. So here's my invitation this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll tell you this morning, He's madly in love with you. Does it matter how far you've been from the Lord, whether this is your first time in a church, whether you know nothing about the gospel? Let me tell you today, Jesus is that source you've been looking for. If you've been hurt, if you've been rejected, if there's a need for acceptance in your life, identity, security, and purpose, look no further than Jesus. Amen. And He will forgive you of your sins. Upon you, just receive it. My invitation this morning is for anyone who doesn't know Christ, that you would come to have Him as your Lord and Savior. Promise your life will never be the same. Because David said, my father may reject me, forsake me, but the Lord will not. And today, the Lord is ready to receive you. And my second invitation is for anyone here that says, Pastor, I know Jesus. I'm a born-again believer. I am a Christ follower. But the Holy Spirit has convicted you this morning that there's things in your life you need to shake off. As a Christian, you embrace the forgiveness and love of Jesus, yet you are not walking in it. And I pray today you come to this altar and you just let this person go into the hands of God. Come on, church. You come forward where you're at. You're standing for Jesus. You're standing for forgiveness. You come forward. Doesn't matter who you are. You let them go. And you trust God with the consequences. You trust God. And you just say, Lord, they're in your hands. So if you're here today for the first time, you're saying, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and my Savior. Let me pray for you first. Just acknowledge the Lord right now. Lord, I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. And today I ask you to be my Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for all those today who are receiving this, Lord. Would you just repeat this from your heart? Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me and save me. Be the source of my joy, source of my strength, and everything that I need as I surrender my life to you. And if you're here this morning and saying, Pastor, I'm a born-again believer, but I've been hurt, I've been mistreated, I've been abused, I've been neglected. There are people in my life I can't forgive. There are people in my life currently right now are hurting me. There are people in my life I war with, I fight with. There are people in my life I just can't stand to look at. And I feel the burden of all the dust they put on me. Do not allow yourself another second to live with dust. But in Jesus' name, say, Lord, help me to shake this off. The disciples were shocked when Jesus got up from the table, got a towel, and started wiping the dust off his disciples' feet. But that's who Jesus is. In humility, He will help you shake the dust off that's been on you maybe for years. And today, make the choice to say, Father, I forgive them. And I keep forgiving them as I let them go into your hands. I trust you to have the judgment. And I ask you to release me and set me free in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this word. We receive it with grace and mercy. I pray as we dismiss this morning that you would help us to shake off the dust, to live at peace for ourselves, to surrender all to you that have hurt and rejected us. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. Come on.